The three threats emphasized in these pages could stand on their own as menaces to the Republic. History, however, provides a further level of confirmation. Natural resources, religious excess, wars, and burgeoning debt levels have been prominent causes of the downfall of the previous leading world economic powers. The United States is hardly the first, and we can profit from the examples of what went wrong before. Oil, as everyone knows, became the all-important fuel of American global ascendancy in the 20th century. But before that, 19th century Britain was the coal hegemon, and 17th century Dutch fortune harnessed the winds and the waters. Neither nation could maintain its global economic leadership when the world moved toward a new energy regime. Today's United States, despite denials, has obviously organized much of its overseas military posture around petroleum, protecting oil fields, pipelines, and sea lanes. But U.S. preoccupation with the Middle East has two dimensions. In addition to its concerns with oil and terrorism, the White House is courting end-times theologians and electorates for whom the Holy Lands are already a battleground of Christian destiny. Both pursuits, oil and biblical expectations, require a dissimulation in Washington that undercuts the U.S. tradition of commitment to the role of an informed electorate. The political corollary, fascinating but appalling, is the recent transformation of the Republican presidential coalition. Since the elections of 2000 and especially of 2004, three pillars have become increasingly central. 1. The oil national security complex, with its pervasive interests. 2. The religious right, with its doctrinal imperatives and massive electorate. And 3. The debt-dealing financial sector, which extends far beyond the old symbolism of Wall Street. In December 2004, the New York Times took up the term borrower industrial complex to identify one profitable engine of exploding consumer debt. That name does not quite work, but we can hardly use a term like the credit card slash mortgage slash auto loan slash corporate debt slash federal borrowing industrial complex. This is a problem still searching for its election day Halloween mask. In any event, the rapid ballooning of government, corporate, financial, and personal debt over the last four decades goes a long way to explain why the finance sector, debt's toll collector, has swollen to outweigh the manufacture of real goods. We are in the midst of one of America's most perverse transformations. George W. Bush has promoted these alignments, interest groups, and their underpinning values. His family, over multiple generations, has been tied to a politics that conjoined finance, national security, and oil. In recent decades, operating from the federal executive branch, the Bushes have added close ties to evangelical and fundamentalist power brokers of many persuasions. These origins, biases, and practices were detailed in my last book, American Dynasty: Aristocracy, Fortune, and the Politics of Deceit in the House of Bush, 2004. The present volume, therefore, revisits mostly the family's influence in helping these trends and guiding these constituencies. Over three decades of Bush presidencies, vice presidencies, and CIA directorships, the Republican Party has slowly become the vehicle of all three interests: a fusion of petroleum-defined national security, a crusading, simplistic Christianity, and a reckless, credit-feeding financial complex. The three are increasingly allied in commitment to Republican politics, if not in full agreement with one another. On the most important front, I am beginning to think that the Southern-dominated, biblically-driven Washington GOP represents a rogue coalition, like the Southern pro-slavery politics that controlled Washington until Lincoln's election in 1860. But the National Democrats have their own complicity. Their lack of understanding and moxie has contributed to the mutation of the GOP. Without that weak and muddled opposition, both before and after September 11th, the Republican transformation would have been impolitic and perhaps impossible. Clearly, the pitfalls of petropolitics, radical religion, and debt finance have to be addressed in their own right. However, I have a personal concern over what has become of the Republican coalition. 40 years ago, I began a book, finished in 1967 and taken to the 1968 Republican presidential campaign, for which I became the chief political and voting patterns analyst. Published in 1969, while I was still in the fledgling Nixon administration, the emerging Republican majority became highly controversial. Newsweek identified it as the political Bible of the Nixon era.